Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Morning, everybody. This is Chris.
All right, Chris, here we go. I like that anthem. Let's roll on. Now we're going to head south. We're going to go down to Corpus Christi and check in with Captain Cliff Webb. Cliffy, what's up, man?
Well, I'm feeling it today, but I'm dragging. I had a long week, man. I just fished myself out. I tell you.
Yeah, it
ever seen that commercial when a guy's arm falls off and a guy's arm falls off when he casts? I think this was going to happen this morning when I cast. My arm's going to come off, man.
Oh,
buddy, I just can't stop fishing. Jesus, our surf. I was listening to you guys about the mullet, and it's the same thing here. I've never seen so much bait in our surf. It's just
you loaded up with them too. That's crazy. Yeah, y'all got a mullet run going on, man.
And you know, anchovy menace, pogies. So I'm paddling out surfing the day before yesterday. Surf's good. I stuck my board in the water, jumped on it, and all these pogies just shower you all over your, hit you in the face and stuff. You know, these 3 or 4 inch pogies, you're paddling through them, they're jumping up on your board. It's crazy.
Wow.
Absolutely crazy. But the crazy thing is, so we're on the outside third bar and we're waiting for the surf, and these big bait balls are coming by, and these pelicans are working on right next to you. Boom, boom, boom. And you just wonder, you can see in the water, you wonder what's really under your feet. You know, how many sharks are swimming under you and stuff. I try to stay on the outside of those bait balls. I try to stay away from them, man. You know, your feet are dangling down that surfboard. You're thinking, man, that couldn't be good. But
I used to hate it when you'd be sitting out there outside the breakers, sitting on your board, and, man, there's just millions of mullets swimming all around you, and then they all start launching out of the water by the thousands. Going, oh, my goodness, what is running these mullet? I hope it isn't hitting the man in the gray suit.
Well, let me tell you, that was one of the scariest things that ever happened. It's my wife and I paddle out one of those dawn sessions. This is many years ago, back when we were dumb enough to get in the water at daylight. But anyway, we paddle out next to Bob Paul Pier, and we paddle out, the surf's really good, and we're some of the first ones out, and we're taking the rip next to the pier, and we paddle out, we punch out, and we get to the outside, we stroke it out there, and these guys got these slider lines, and we paddle under them, and they're on the outside, and they're dangling these mullet. And all of a sudden, this shark comes up, not on their bait, but he came up right within 20 feet of us, this big bull shark with a jackfish in his mouth. Oh. He came to top of the water, and he crunched his jaws, and we could hear the bones popping that fish, just crunching. You never seen two people get to the beach as quick as
you and your wife look at each other. That could have been our leg.
Like, we're done, man. I think my wife out paddled me, but it was funny, man. Yeah, that's what's going on now. We're seeing sharks in the morning in the first gut. But, man, so we're sitting there surfing day before yesterday, and Shane, one of the surfers, really good surfers, says, hey, man, check out this trout. And so it's a big old black log laying in the first gut, and someone had caught this fish probably on a slider line off the jetties, and it was stunned. And this fish just swimming real slow down the first gut, and Shane reaches down and grabs it by the tail and tries to pick it up. This fish is 31-plus. It's a monster. And it pulls out of his hand, you know, still strong enough. So it finally stayed in the first gut. We watched it. Finally got its, you know, enough speed to, you know, get on out. But that was a big cove. We're seeing some really big fish coming down the beach. But it's incredible these guys are even throwing live piggy perch at them and not get them to eat. they'll stand there and they'll wait for these little wolf packs to come down the beach, and they'll be right there and they'll flip a piggy perch in front of them and they don't eat it. And that, you know, that's pretty picky right there.
Yeah, that'll tell you something. They're not biting when that happens. That's a
all they got to do is open up their mouth fish. And swim.
Yeah, it's well, true. You know, yeah, there's so much bait; they're probably full as a toad.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts, the amount of fish and kingfish off the beach. You know, everything that you want to see is on that beach. And schools of reds. This is what's so funny. So, this time of year, these big schools of reds are coming out in the surf, and you can see these big gold balls. The water's super clear, and I'm watching the jetties, and these guys throw all their rods off the jetties and wait for the fish to come to them. Not one of them have a pair of sunglasses. If they just have a gold spoon and just sit there and watch the school, they can just throw into school when they go by instead of sitting there waiting for them to maybe come in front of the rods. It's just funny how people fish, you know. I mean, the fish are balled up on top of the water. You can see them. Why not just take a gold spoon and flip in there and catch everyone every cast?
But exactly.
They got to wait for them to swim out there where their mullet are. I just, you know, whatever, that way they fish.
But you know, I've seen that a lot. You know, now boat fishermen, you know, all the guys that fish like we do and everything, they all wear good eyewear.
Yeah.
But, right. You see that on a lot of the bank fishermen, jetty fishermen, and people fishing the bank. They don't even have sunglasses on. I don't know how the glare just doesn't give them a migraine headache by the end of the day, you know.
But that's what gets me about people in good eyewear. Because when Bob Hall Pier was open, for a dollar, if you didn't fish, you could walk down the pier and look. And we walk down the pier with our sunglasses, look under the pilings, all these big snook around the pilings and little tarpon swimming around. And the guy's on his iPhone with his rod path, no sunglasses, sitting in a chair with his rod out there 100 yards away from all the fish, and just like, wow. There was one guy on the pier they called Doodah Baker, and he whistled that song, Doodah, Doodah, all day long, and they called him Doodah Baker. But anyway, he had a fly rod. He had a fly rod, and he would take his
Doodah Baker.
Doodah Baker. And so Doodah Baker would throw this fly rod and rip it down the side of those piles and hook these big little tarpon. He wouldn't land very many because they get around the piles, but he would hook them all day long, you know?
Right.
And Doodah Baker, every once in a while, would land one, but, man, he had his style down. But anyway. But our surf's a little more exciting than our bay. Our bay's bowled up with water. It's just got so much water.
Y'all got a lot of water down there, too. But these fall tides, man, here we are. We're in the equinox, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Really busted my fish and scattered them out. So I had the I had the boys yesterday, Weston and Fred the Third out, and their friends are having a wedding down
here. Talking about the Adams boys?
The Adams boys, yeah. They were so much fun.
The Adams family.
Man, I tell you what, that's a fishing hunting bunch of kids right there. They absolutely love it.
They're sickos, no doubt about it.
Their dad is something else. I got, you know, they're on my deer lease now, and, man, right. talk about adding fun to your deer lease. Put Fred
on. Isn't
that
cool when you get good guys on the lease together? There's nothing better than that.
Everybody's enjoying it. It's great. He's just, you know, having so much fun. He bought a big old tractor. He's doing all the mowing and stuff for us, you know. So it's really nice. But anyway, so I head out with these four guys, you know, and I leave the ducks early. And I found some fish early in the week in this spot, but the water was so high I couldn't wade that grass line. That grass line now is neck deep. You know, it was chest deep, and I was able to wade it, you know, and it's just, I can't get on it. And with a dingy color water, I can't really find that grass line. I can't really visualize it, and throwing with the trolling motor, I can't stay on it, you know. So,
right.
Anyway, it was a lot of drifting, covering water, and just a fish here, a fish there. You know, it's just, I covered a lot of water. It's funny school because then I ran back up north. Yeah, it's it, Bo. And so I run back north, and that north wind by then was blowing like crazy. On Friday, just blowing hard yesterday, and then it pushed some of that Gulf water, that beautiful Gulf water, in the upper Laguna Madre, and that water was beautiful up here, but the fish were smaller. You know, you get a lot of dinks, and when our water's still just super hot, it just shouldn't be this hot. We need a couple of fronts,
and that's probably why you're getting a lot of that dinge. You know, that dinginess in the water is because the heat. Our water's up the lake. It's like 88 this morning.
Yeah. That's what's happening to us. You know, then we got,
that's hot, man. For this late in September, that's warm water, man.
Yeah, and I covered all back in the bath, and a lot of dingy water in the back, and the, you know, long tide gauge and all that's pretty brown. Hard to catch them. If they would hit topwater Mickey, it'd be so much easier, but our topwater bite is not happening.
Ours is almost non-existent up here. Same thing.
Yeah, it's a tail down deep, and I don't know what's going down, but if I catch them on top water,
same thing.
Dark
Charlie
water,
told me this morning. Charlie and I were talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's funny how that works, isn't it? God
it
almighty.
Is.
But if I just get a little bit of a cold front, drop that water, I think the migration will start. We got the bait moving. I just want the fish to get on them. Right now, everything's scattered out back in the sloughs. The redfish are scattered out like crazy. God, there's one here, one there, you know, just all over the place. That's going to change, man. It's going to change. But, you know, listen to you guys about shrimp and stuff jumping out of the water. We've got more shrimp in Laguna Modern than I think I've ever seen. It's absolutely
I'm hearing that from Venice, Louisiana, all the way to South Padre this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of shrimp.
Yeah. And I think that freeze had to have something to do with all this. I wish I could figure all that stuff out, why we had these major freezes, and after that, everything gets really good. It's just
Don't let it worry you too much. We can't live long enough to figure all this out.
We never will.
You know, it's just when you think you got them cornered. Wrong number.
That's funny stuff right there. That's so true, man. But we finally got the birds started showing up here down here again. So last week we didn't have anything. I had them opening day, and then yesterday we had a big wave of birds come, and I guess pushed northern birds in with these fronts because
morning doves.
Morning doves. So we got some birds showing up again.
Well, Blaine's got a big influx of white wings. I was texting him earlier. I was going to call him after Sharky. That's why I kept Sharky on so long, because Blaine has no, he could text, but he has no cell phone reception down there.
Right,
They're going through weird stuff down that way, but he's got a group of 10 down there. They had a really good shoot yesterday afternoon on one of his ranches west of the lodge there.
Good.
Mother load over there. They had pretty much a turkey shoot, you know, a lot of birds and mostly white wings, though.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I'll take white wings any day. I like shooting them.
I do too. You know, and it's funny because we have
high flyers, baby. Big flocks of them coming through.
Yeah, and you know, I shoot the. Yeah, that's what the white wings get me, because once you shoot them, they're really smart. So the first day they're easy to shoot. Second day they're not as easy to shoot. You know, my second Sunday, it's funny, but I shoot a little 20 gauge over and under, and I shoot that low, you know, the low brass, and I shoot sixes in it. But the trick is shooting those sixes, because it knocks them down, but. On the second weekend of white wing, I may go to a 12 just simply because, like you say, they get on up there.
Yeah, they fly higher. You betcha.
Our birds are smart. They fly
12 gauge number sixes, man. That's my shot of choice. If I can get that, the problem is getting them. That's the problem.
Getting them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Man, it's hard to find shells. And I'm hoping that's going to come to an end because this year we had shells, and this is what's so crazy. So it was $99 a case, but they limited you to 3 boxes. Like, what? Why do you have these case prices out there?
Yeah, why do you have case prices if you'll only let me buy 3 boxes? Come on,
I got to go with the car, buy 3 boxes, walk back in there. It's just this is stupidest stuff you've ever seen. It's just, anyway, whatever. It's crazy.
Supply chain problems. Hey, they got more excuses over all this than gads have on their fishing.
Oh, that hurt.
That's hitting them where it hurts right there, buddy. It's the truth, though.
More excuses than a guide. Dead gummit.
But, I mean, I know guys that are paying $19 for a box of dove loads. Come on.
You know, it's just sick. And then the other thing is not being able to get parts. Like, I'm in the trolling motor shop the other day, and I told you I dropped my GPS, had to get a new GPS put on. And all these, they can't get parts for trolling motors. It's nuts. Can't get parts for power poles. Can't get parts for power poles. Everything made in China. It's like, what?
I think once the COVID crisis, we went through all that, everybody just got in shut down mode. They don't even care anymore. I don't know what it is. Let me knock this break out. I went over. I got to knock out a break, and I'll come right back at you, man. All right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Yeah, that's my old girl. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 622 here in the Bayou City. Let's run back and talk some more with Captain Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we're back, bud.
All right, man. Just had a little shower come through here a while ago. Rained pretty good there for
really?
A few minutes.
Boy, yeah, I could use one. Man, I need about 6 inches real quick.
We've had the rain this year. It's nuts. We just, you know, it seems like everybody north of us gets it more than we do, like, you know, Rockport and all that. But this year, right. Man, we've had the rain. And that's part what's going on in Laguna Madre. So all these big back sloughs are full of that dead grass and stuff. Then it rains, it boils all that stuff up with the water. Then when it drains out, it kind of brings that brown, silty, you know, stained water along our shoreline. That's part of the problem, plus the bull tide. So it just makes the fish scatter. They're still there, but it kind of protects in the way I look at it. But, hey, Mickey, the like of boats are crazy. So I ran south yesterday. I bet I didn't see two boats.
Really?
Bath and Yarborough, Landcut. It was insane. I mean, it's so nice to turn the key off, drop the total more down, start working the shoreline. Not even hear a
and
boat.
And don't have to
not
look over your shoulder.
No, there's not to look anywhere. There's no boats. And that's neat. That is really cool.
Sounds like they're all tarpon fishing, the way James talks. Yeah. He said, man, you can stir them with
so
a stick.
Many, there's so many people tarpon fishing here, and it's good. Port Aransas has had a bunch of fish off the rocks. What's so cool about these guys and these slider lines, I know those guys do that where
well,
you're
yeah,
at.
Yeah, I was going to ask you earlier, what's a slider line?
That's a big deal here. So they take a big surf rod, like a 14-footer or something, and they just put nothing but a weight on it, and they cast it out real far, and they get a tight line, and they take a swivel and a clothespin and slide a little mullet down where it touches the water and just barely swims on top of the water with a clothespin on it with another rod. And when that fish hits it, the clothespin comes off, and they got the fish free line. And, boy, you talk about explosion. They used to do the slider lines off the pier, and we'd be out there surfing just outside of them, and these tarpon would smoke those mullet off the top, and you would hear them pop it, you know. But I think that's probably what that big trout in the surf hit, because sometimes those trout will come up and hit those slider lines and those guys let them go, because that big trout was definitely stunned. But it's so cool, the kingfish and stuff they catch off that those slider lines. But the funniest thing is, though, like you say, is the amount of people that do not have sunglasses and try to fish. You can't see structure, you can't see the bottom, you can't see the bait, you can't see the fish. I just don't get it. And it hurts your eyes. I mean, you know. That's why you get cataracts later on from sun damage. So, you know, how much can a pair of polarized glasses cost, really? Even a cheap pair is better than nothing.
Well, back in the day before we had all the good stuff we have now, man, we just wore the old $5 bill dances. I'd go buy, you know, five or six pair at a time at Walmart.
Yeah.
The old bill dance specials, man. They were polarized.
You know, it's so funny.
You could penetrate the water, see in them, and, you know, if you tore them up, no big deal, $5. I'll grab me a new pair.
You know, it's funny because Doug had a guy working for him, Clyde, for years. I just love Clyde. He's an older guy, ex-military. He never owned a pair of sunglasses, never wore them, and guided for years and years in Laguna Madre with no sunglasses.
Gosh.
And he wore a hat. His face looked like leather, and he just did not wear sunglasses. I don't know how Clyde did it. It's just amazing, you know. But
I bet they call him Cataract Clyde now.
he lived into his 80s or something, but, you know, he was just amazing. He squinted all the time, but he just getting that boat. I don't know how he did those glary days with no sunglasses. I'd say, hey, Clyde, I'll give you a pair of glasses. Oh, no, I like them. I won't wear them. Whatever. I don't know
not
how
real.
You can do it, but he did. You know, the fish is thick when you can throw out and not see anything, catch them. Man.
Well, that's true. But, man, I got to be able to see. I got to cut that glare, man, and, you know, it's just softer on the eyes.
Yeah, and the way we fish, you know, trout are structure-oriented fish.
Sure.
And when you can't see the rock, the structure where the fish is around, you're throwing away from the structure. You're not really in the strike zone all the time. When you can see what you're throwing at, you're in the strike zone. And it, you know, that's what's so great about our area is having targets. It drives me nuts when I have just super dirty water. My targets are gone, and I'm just fan casting, just fanning, hoping that I come into a fish. And it's so important to remember
to
where
Galveston.
You had that blow up. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Galveston. Yeah. And you just, I know you do this too. You really pay attention where you had that strike or where you had that bite because you figure
you have to
something holding. You have to really zero in on that spot. Our deal is, you know, we see three or four rocks, and one of them will have any fish on it. The other two have fish on it. You know, it's just funny how that is. You'll find that one rock, there's something about it the fish like. Down here, it's usually the rock that has a lot of sand around it, and that's what they really like. There's so many rocks.
You know what my biggest weakness is fishing is trying to remember how I was working my lure to catch that fish because I work my lures so many different ways, you know, because I've caught them so many different ways over the years, and – man, you're in that grind mode and fishing ain't any good and you're just doing this and doing that and you finally catch one. I'm saying to myself when I reel that fish in, I'm going, what was I doing to catch that fish?
Right.
You know?
Have you ever done this too where one guy in the boat's catching fish consistently and it's a lot about the size of the lead head, it's about the depth and everybody's throwing a 1/8, he's throwing a quarter or something, he's smoking you. Well, that just goes to show you, you know, that they're in the water column lower and something's going on with his presentation. So I automatically would take my scissors, cut everybody off and go to that lead head. I'm not,
right.
You know, I'm just going to go with what's working. And that's why I'll put different size lead heads on people. If I got a guy that's drinking a lot of coffee, I'm putting him a quarter ounce on.
Put him a gumball on, man.
Then I got a guy that's like, well, you know, I'll put him a 1/8 on.
Hey, you get a guy that's all hung over from the night before, put him a 16th on. Oh, slow-mo Joe.
He would just look at airplanes and stuff, and his bait, his lure would be on the bottom, you know.
Bird watching.
It was all
totally
good.
Unfocused.
Yeah, you got to kind of adapt your bait to your client, you know. And then I love topwater too. I get these guys that I throw one time and I work a topwater back and they throw them four times. I said, well, wait, maybe you might be working that thing back a little too fast, you know.
Right.
It's funny, all fish like a certain rhythm, whether it's a plastic or a topwater, a jerk bait or suspension bait. There's something that day that you're going to find a certain rhythm that they're on, or somebody in your boat's going to find something they like.
Exactly.
For instance, the double D is so weird because when you throw a double D, most time I throw it out, caught my rod at 45 and slow roll it across the rocks. That works most times. Some days they don't want it like that. Some days they want it real 10 feet, reel the top and let it sit there and they smoke it. So, you know, you just kind of play with it a little bit and see what they want. Sometimes they want the bait coming back up. Sometimes they want it falling. And the Meridines, you know, the XLs and stuff, they fall. When you twitch them, they shake down and they shiver. Uh-huh. And sometimes they want that. Sometimes they want it coming back up the top. But if you can match what's going on that day, it sure helps you put more fish in the boat. That's for sure.
Think about all the stuff we throw now. I mean,
I know it.
You know, the Meridines, whether they're the small all the way up to XL, double Ds, then you got the soft Dines, you know, from the little bitty one all the way up to the XL. I mean, Corkies, Fat Boys, you know, Corky
our quiver
devils,
weapons or something.
Yeah. Lilies, Hot Rods.
and then
you go through, you know, you go back old school a little bit and get into the mirror lures and then all the soft plastics. Good Lord. I mean, it's
incredible.
Boy, what a selection.
I've got a garage full of stuff that you put up and don't fish anymore that works just perfect because something else has come out. And I got all these boxes of perfectly good lures. I caught plenty of fish, but I retired them because the new bait's in town, you know. So
exactly,
it's more about catching us. But I got you can take all that old stuff and it works, you know. That's
this time of year, what everybody and what we used to throw this time of year, and the trout bite was, you know, we'd make it happen was spoons. I mean, you know those lethargic. You know, weird acting trout, you were wading through them. You knew they were all on the shorelines. You put a spoon on, hey, it was Katie bar the door. And we don't even throw spoons anymore.
That's so weird you said that because I've got some old-timers that throw spoons and they're catching more fish than we are. We're too stupid to go to the spoon. I go, what's the deal? You know, we used to throw them. Now we got to catch them on all this Gucci stuff we got. But That's what's going on the surf. The guys that's throwing silver spoons. The trouble is there's so many skipjack and jackfish, they smoke that silver spoon. And same with topwater. I've been going out right at dark, like 7:30 in the afternoon, because I just live right down the street from the beach. And right at 7:30, those fish just pile up on right up on the beach. But there's so many big jacks and stuff, and there's hard to get a trout, Mickey.
Right.
There's just so many predators in our surf.
Too much competition, man.
It's just crazy how much fish we got. But that sound they make right when it's just right at dark, all that explosion on the beach, fish jumping out of the water, it is something else. I like to video that sound of all that action.
Oh, that sucking sound's unbelievable. I love that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's nothing like it. Or they're slurping
shrimp. I love
when
you hear somebody else's plug. Yeah. I love it when somebody else throws out Mickey and you're not looking, all of a sudden you're like,
we used to do that in the dark, and I go, hey, was that you or was that me?
Yeah, that's fun in the dark, isn't it?
It is. It's a blast, man. All right, Cliff, I got a roll, buddy. If somebody wants to call about coming down and fishing with you, man, give them a number so they can get a hold of you and come do it. It's fun.
And it's just going to get nothing but better. A couple more cold fronts, it's going to get better. But come on down, man. It's area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
Or as Plog says, come on, man.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, man.
Come on.
Thanks, Mickey.
All right, see you. Take care, Cliff.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already. My time has flown today. All right, well, let's head up to Lake Livingston to Pinwall Campground and Marina. Let's check in with old Harry Detant this morning and see what he's up to. Harry, good morning. How are you, bud?
Hey, good morning, Mickey. How are y'all today?
Oh, it's all good, man.
I guarantee you, we ain't got a breath of air up here blowing this morning. Nothing, Mickey. Everything's just dead calm and dead still.
Lake Livingston is slick as a baby's bottom.
It is, I guarantee you. I think we're about 71 degrees. Feels real good outside. The sun, it's not getting daylight as quick as it was.
Days are shorter. And don't say that too loud, because we'll be setting them clocks back, which I like. We need to set them back and leave them there for the rest of our lives.
There you go. That'll work. That'll work for me too, Mickey. It really
me
would.
Too.
But yeah, everything's good up here on the lake. You know, the lake, we're about 3 inches below normal pool. I think
right.
130.75, something like that. I think the release is around 1,500 cubic feet a second. And, you know, there's not really a drop of water coming down out of the river at Court from Dallas. I mean, everything's
no.
pretty good dried up again, you know. And we don't hurry up, we're going to be back in the same situation we was here a few weeks ago. We sure are. But we need some rain pretty bad up here in East Texas.
I could sure use some around my place, I'll tell you. Use about 6 inches real quick.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
It's dry, man.
One of them three-day soakers, what you need, you know.
I mean, you go outside and you just smell dead grass. You can just smell it
yeah,
in the air.
Yeah, you do. You know, luckily, you know, the grass up here is still green, but it, you know, it isn't going to last very long. I mean, you know, in this coming week, I think it's supposed to be down in the 60s. And, you know, grass is
going to grow. Oh, it's going to be really nice. It's going to be a nice week ahead of us.
It's going to be really pretty good. So we ought to enjoy it. We just need to get a little rain along with it. But I'm sitting here looking at a map of Texas, and there's not a cloud anywhere over the state, I don't
no.
think. It's just blank. So that's the way it's going. You know, fishing pressure has been really, really low. Mickey, there hasn't really been anybody out to speak of. A few people out, not many. I have seen a few fish come in, but nothing's going hot and heavy here on Livingston right now. I mean, I did have one fella come in the other day, and he had a pretty nice run of catfish. You know, the whites, they're slowing down really good. You know, I've had several people out trying to catch white bass, but, you know, they're kind of coming in thumbs down. But, you know, that's just this time of the year. It's just,
yeah.
It's just the time of the year it is. You know, on the whites, you know, when the shad splits up, you know, the fish split up too. I mean, you just can't hardly do it. But, you know, one thing that I haven't seen here on Livingston here in the last few years like I used to see it, but, you know, last of August or, you know, this time of the year, Mickey, you should go out on that lake. You know, I don't know when I do it the most, probably about Sunday evening, you know, probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, you know, whenever there's nobody on the lake. But you could just see acres and acres of little white bass schooling out there. And those fish are probably, you know, they're 4 or 5 inch fish, you know, but they just be in great big mats out there. But I hadn't seen that in a good while. I don't know why, but a lot of things have changed, you know, as far as the white bass is concerned here on this lake. I mean, used to we'd you know, I could leave out of here and I could be going down the lake, and when I ran to the corner down by Indian Hills and point that boat out towards Walker's Lake, you could look up against a blue sky and you'd just see a great big white tornado of big old white birds going around and around. Looked like a funnel cloud up yonder. You know you was in for a really a good day then. But for whatever reason, the birds don't work like they used to years ago. A lot of these little old, we just call them little old lyre birds, you know, and
yeah, those little lesser terns, yeah.
Yep. They'll kind of dip a wing at something every now and then. You kind of watch them, but I just don't see the birds working like they did years ago. I mean, you know, years ago you'd come down this lake, Mickey, and you'd see circles of boats, and there might be 7 or 8 boats, and they'd just be in a big circle, and everybody be casting towards the middle, you know, just catching white bass, but you don't see that like you used to. You do see them trolling up down 190, you know, just trolling, but, you know, a lot of people like to do that, but anyway, there's still some good, there's good fishing here on Livingston. This year probably was the best year we've had in the last couple of 2 or 3 years as far as white bass. I saw some really, really nice white bass come in this year, and they held up real good. They started early, and they finished strong. They sure did. But you know, this time of the year, everybody's there. They're getting ready for deer season and stuff like that, and that's what you call what an East Texas tradition. You know, it's a switchover. You know, and we can roll along through here, you know, and get through deer hunting, and I can tell you the exact day that deer season opens, because we'll go to launching boats again, you know, and things will start over, which we're just, 4 months away from that, you know. So, anyway, it'll all be good. You know, catfish here on Livingston, I've been doing pretty good. I saw a fella had a real nice string of catfish here the other day, and all. Crappie, you know, I did see some here about a week ago. I did see some pretty nice crappie come in. But, you know, you have to be pretty much on the money to catch them. They're not something that you run out and catch. In fact, I had a guy call me yesterday or the day before yesterday. He said, well, how's the crappie in Pinwa? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I saw on Facebook, somebody had an old whole ice chest full of crappie coming out of Pinwa. And I said, really? I said, it must have been a different Pinwa than what I'm here at. I mean, Pinwa in Oklahoma someplace.
Probably an old photo. You see that a lot, man. They'll throw an old memory photo up on there and make it look like it just happened. And that happens all the time.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know. But you know, everybody lives by Facebook anymore, you know, I guess.
Social media, man.
Social media. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. You know, a lot of times you see a lot of that stuff and you say, well, it looks like somebody trying to make a living out yonder or something, you know.
Yeah, it is. But all promotion. Look at me.
All in the sale, you know. But, you know, but that's the way it goes. But we've had some gorgeous weather. I mean, we're going to have a beautiful fall week next week. I mean, it really is. I mean, traffic, I guarantee you, traffic is just about zeroed out here on Livingston.
It's slow on the coast, too, you know, normally we were just not seeing, you're not seeing the boats and all the pressure.
It's slowed down. You know, all summer long and you could go down 190 towards 59. There in Livingston, and I mean, it looked like 1960 down through there, Mickey. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was cars everywhere, but now you can drive down through there without a whole lot of trouble, and everybody's gone home for the winter or whatever you want to call it. I don't know exactly what's changed, but there's probably about half. It's about half the traffic of what it was. So anyway, everything will be all right. We're just hoping we get a little bit of rain. We need it bad. We sure do. You know, if we don't, this grass is going to turn brown again. We'll be back in the same problem that we was a few weeks ago.
Well, I wonder how that's going to change deer hunting up in your area with, the dry woods for a change.
Mickey, I don't know. I've seen some acorn trees. They've got acorns on them. They just can't have the same amount as when we get a good year of rain and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what a change is a lot that I've noticed is the leaves. Mickey, we got leaves everywhere on the ground. You know, these trees are restarting, you know, because of dry weather, and they're dropping leaves, you know. So a lot of areas... We've got leaves everywhere on the ground, just like it is in the fall, you know. So we ought to have an overabundance of leaves, and all sure should. But I think, you know, I mean, you know, deer hunting, I mean, my gosh, you know, the weather cools off a little bit, which it looks like it will. I mean, to me it does, but deer start moving a little bit. I know people fill up their feeders and stuff, and I think deer hunting, I think this season be pretty good. I mean, not too bad. But, you know, when I lived in New Mexico, you know, I mean, we was always hoping we'd get snow, and all. But, you know, I mean, we used to like, really like to hunt in the snow. But, well, and then, too, you know, you get a little snow on the ground, and it's easier to see down through that brush and stuff. You know, you can see things a lot better with that snow on the ground. But, you know, one time, Mickey, you know, we was all poor boys and stuff, and we was doing the best we could, and we would go way up. There's a place that we like to hunt, and it's a great big old canyon up yonder. It's probably, I don't know, 400 yards across at least, and we'd go up in the tops and hunt, and you'd get so cold walking up yonder, you know, and we kind of walked up this little old ravine. It was easier to walk there than on the side of the hill, and we'd walk up yonder, and you'd get up top, and you'd about freeze to death. And one time I saved up my money, and I bought me a pair of electric socks, and I thought that was a catch me out. And all the way up there.
I remember those, that battery you'd put in the top of them.
Uh-huh, that's right. But you know what happened, Mickey? Got up yonder, my feet was nice and warm, and then batteries went out, and my sock and my feet had sweated in those socks.
Well, yeah, from the warmth, they sweat in there, and then when the batteries go out, right. then your feet freeze.
Then you're cold all day long. You know, them batteries didn't last very long, you know. I should have left them off while I was walking, and then when I sat down and turned them on, you know. But,
right.
But they sure did feel good going up. But, my gosh, I mean, you know, when the batteries quit, everything got cold. My brother, he used to come go hunting with me, you know, he was one of these gadget freaks, and he always carried some kind of a pack with him, and me, I carry some ammunition, and I carry me a canteen of water, and maybe a apple or a candy bar, you know, and that's about all I carried, you know, David, he'd have everything in that pack, you know, and I really did enjoy it because we'd get up yonder and sit down. Now, I could have a real good lunch, and he'd carry it all the way up yonder for me. But
there you go.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But at one spot, we would shoot across canyon on it, Mickey, and it was a long ways. We call it bombing. And we would sit on this one side, and would be looking across, and the sun would hit those big old rocks and stuff over yonder, and those every now and then, if you watch close enough, a bear would come out and they'd lay on them rocks, and I think they'd do that just to dry the dew off of their coat and stuff,
yeah,
kind of warm up, and we'd get down yonder, and one of us would shoot, and one of us would watch, you know, We'd watch for that bullet to land, you know, and hope it kicked up a little dirt, and then we'd pick it up, you know. We killed a bear up yonder one time, and I don't know how far that was, you know. I mean, you know, then, I mean, you didn't have these fancy scopes like you do now. We had good scopes on our rifles for those, but they weren't nothing like there is today. But we killed a big old bear up yonder, and it took us about 3 or 4 hours to get around to where it was at, and then we found it, and it took us to dart to drag that thing out of there. All we could do is we just started going downhill, and we hit the bottom and just come on out and come out on an old logging road down yonder, and then walk back and got our pickup, picked him up. But time we got that bear out, you know, I mean, we was wishing that we hadn't killed it. Wish we just left it up yonder, you know. But anyway, that was, I don't know. You know, we was probably shooting, 500 yards at least. I don't know. The only, I don't even know how to compare it. You know, when I was in the service, you know, I fired on the, that firing range, it went out to 500 yards there. And you know, then you'd shoot the 25-yard targets. They're easy to miss because you'd shoot over top of it. And, and the, and the intermediates was all right. But, you know, you learn real quick on the 500-yard targets. You know, you'd shoot at them. Best thing you'd do is keep it in line and skip the bullet into the target. And, you know, as long as you hit the target, they didn't care. They called it a kill anyway. But anyway, we used to go to all them target shoots and stuff.
Right.
There years ago, and we had a good time. There was one old boy, he shot on at Camp Pendleton rifle team or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And he'd come to those shoots, and I guarantee you, that man, he had a truckload of ammunition with him and a bunch of rifles. But I guarantee you, any kid, I don't care how old he is, just little kids, old kids, whatever, if they wanted to shoot that rifle, he'd just get a hold of them, he'd set them down out yonder and hang on to it or whatever. He'd let them shoot it till the barrel got hot, you know. I mean, he didn't care. He was really pretty good about that. I guarantee you, he was a good shot. I mean, he's
what we used to call a crack shot, baby.
I guarantee you.
Those guys are shooting open sights and, you know.
Yep.
Can outshoot a guy using a scope. It's amazing.
I know.
It's a skill.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
It does. Yeah, it's kind of like fishing, just time on the water. More time you spend, the better off.
Exactly. Burning that powder. All right, Harry, I got to burn on out of here, bud. If somebody
all
wants
right,
to call you up at Pinwall, give them some info.
Just call them up here at 936-967-4752. Mickey, y'all have a good day down there.
We're going to do it. You do the same, Harry. Have a good weekend. See you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That's Harry Detan up at Pinwall Campground and Marina. That's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back in the morning bright and early, 6 a.m. or 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
That's too damn bad!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.